and at the pharmacy counter about manufacturers' coupons or programs. But you have to ask. Sometimes the pharmacy has a sign-up program direct with the manufacturer, but you can't find it online, and they aren't allowed to tell you about it unless you ask. That was today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Dollywood turns to Rainywood. Parts of the theme park in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, were flooded as storms hit the south. WVLT-TV's Jared Austin.
That is some flash flooding in Dollywood and Sevier County, causing some panic, a heavy experience, heavy rain and flooding at the park. People in their cars stuck at the park as the rain continues, water just pouring through the gates. What people tell us there, they were stuck there for several hours. Now, Dollywood tells us one minor injury reported in this.
Nicolas Maduro is declared the winner in Venezuela's presidential election, even as his opponents were disputing the results, setting up a high-stakes showdown. The BBC's Ione Wells is in Caracas.
The result is likely to be widely disputed by the opposition, and some foreign governments have already said they would not accept a win for President Maduro.
Republicans are up in arms over what President Biden may announce when it comes to the Supreme Court on Monday. CBS's Skylar Henry.
CBS News has learned President Biden is expected to unveil his proposals to reform the U.S. Supreme Court during a speech tomorrow in Texas. That plan would include introducing term limits and a code of ethics for justices, both of which would likely require congressional support.
Children among those killed this weekend in Israel in what its military calls the deadliest attack on civilians in Israeli-controlled territory since October 7th, when its war with Hamas began. CBS's Deborah Pata.
The funeral lament echoes across the remote Druze village of Majdal Shams. Thousands of mourners gathered around a long row of white shrouded coffins. Those killed were all children. Rabir knew every single one of the victims.
All of them were like my brothers, not just friends, but they were very close to me.
To the Olympics, Simone Biles made a dazzling return to the big stage with Team USA Women's Gymnastics qualifying in the top spot for the team event, despite Biles tweaking her left calf. And Team USA has a chance to medal in Monday night's final in men's gymnastics.
The gymnasts will have to turn in a better performance than Saturday's qualifying round. The men finished in fifth place behind China, Japan, Great Britain, and Ukraine. China and Japan compete at a higher level of difficulty, so the U.S. will likely be vying for the bronze. The last time the men's team medaled was 2008 in Beijing. Wendy Gillette, CBS News, Paris.
And the organizers behind the Olympics apologized to anyone who was offended by a tableau that evoked Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper during Friday's opening ceremony. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Happy Saturday night, everybody. Welcome to Max Inc. on Civic Media, original local music from Wisconsin. It is time for Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. Powered by First Weber, sell or buy your next home right now at movetomadison.com. And also sponsored by the Lazy Oaf Lounge. Handcrafted food, live music, karaoke, and trivia. Visit them today on Madison's northeast side or check out their website at lazyoaflounge.com.
Jimmy, it's time for Live in the Lair with Mojo Perry. And Mojo Perry is a profound figure in the underground music scene, captivating audiences with his exceptional guitar skills and soulful compositions. Over the course of 20 years, he has released 9 albums of seamlessly blended blues-infused psychedelic rock, and Perry is renowned for his distinctive sound and evocative guitar tones. But 10 years ago, Mojo Perry encountered a profound challenge as he found himself as one of the countless victims of America's opioid endemic. Embarking on a journey towards recovery and self-discovery, Mojo Perry is a story of triumph over adversity and a comeback in music with a story to tell and songs to write. Mojo Perry, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Thank you, guys. I am so honored to be here. You have no idea.
It's been a hot minute since I've seen you, man. Yeah. It's been a couple of years, but you look great.
Thank you.
That's Jimmy, awesome. Jimmy was saying something and he thought you appeared on the show at some point before. Was it?
I thought maybe not this one, but I think he might have joined us either at WSUM or perhaps at the WISC over there in the one of the Jimmy K shows.
I believe it was the WISC.
WISCO.
WSUM does ring a bell as well.
Oh. So you're always saying
there could
no,
have been
Jimmy.
A couple.
It's been a while. It's great to see you again.
Likewise. I was so happy when I saw that you guys were here. It just made me feel warm and welcome. You guys rock, man.
Well, thanks. Well, you know, before we find out about who Mojo Perry is, let's hear a song, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
The first song you have for us tonight, it's called The Story Song. It's your most popular song. Tell us about this song before you play it.
Well, you know, when I first wrote it, I was, like a lot of artists, I was a kid. And I just had this melody, and I love working in that waltz, that 6/8 time, and it just kind of fit perfectly. And originally, it was called the telephone song. you know, tell you how much younger I was when I wrote it, and then eventually, I started writing it differently, and it evolved and evolved, and it just got to be this really special thing that every time we perform it, in fact, we'll play it at Atwood Fest, which we'll talk about later.
Okay.
Right, and it's just one of my personal favorites. Stories end and stories come, stories go, right?
It's a great way to kick off the night with Mojo Perry live in the lair. If you want to call and ask questions, you could do that right now. Mojo would love to say hi to you. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Call or text from the Civic Media app. You're live in the lair with Mojo Perry.
Everyone yelled and he picked on a little fool. So he shut himself from the world. All he left was his guitar. As happiness does, what really matters is how we all try to live our life. Whether we win or lose doesn't even really matter. Why I even try.
And his story is true and blue. That little boy became famous for how he played his box guitar. Isn't it funny how we are taught to think about each other?
Joe Perry live in the lair here on Max Inc. on Civic Media. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Call or text us from the Civic Media app.
Now, Mojo Perry, your deep-rooted passion for guitar, it starts at 5 years old.
Way back, late bloomer.
Tell us your backstory. How did you get into music?
I was really close with my mom before she passed, and I of course ask a lot of questions like a lot of adults do. And my mom told me that when I was five, she came home from visiting her relatives in Ohio, and all I remember seeing was this head of a guitar case come through the door. Now, I hadn't seen my mom in over like a week, a couple weeks. You know, I grabbed that guitar and I took off with it. And, my mom said that from that point on, to any time she wanted to know where I was, she just had to stop and listen. And then she'd find me. And that went on right up until I left the door. So,
wow.
Did your parents play music, or did they push you toward playing music? What kind of influence did they have?
Mom was a concert pianist, and she could sight read. I used to sit at the end of the hallway in mornings on weekends and just listen to her play. Ah, it's amazing. Bach, Mozart, all of it. She's amazing.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Now, how old were you when you started performing live?
I had a teacher in school that was, and of course, this is in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan. So quick shout out to Houghton, Michigan. All right, all my Youpers, right? Youper love. Right?
Okay, that's in the Upper Peninsula?
Where in the UP is that?
Well, that is about less than an hour shy of No More Land. You go up north, way up into that UPA, God's area code is 906. Yep, that is. I do this thing with my hand here. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
See? I'm up here. Yeah. There's no thumb.
You're far northern. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, Youper. 220 inches of snow a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Land of ice and snow, Robert Plant says.
So how old were you when you started performing live?
I was 14 when I did my first schoolroom, classroom. I'd bring my guitar to school. That's how much I played.
Wow.
And it really just was such a big part of my life. I think even to this day, my classmates that I bump into, they say that was always a part of my identity. So really, I don't have any memories of it not being prolific in my life.
So you knew you were going to be a musician?
Yeah, yeah. There was no choice in the matter. It just was a natural course of events, yeah.
So it's amazing how that works out. So you like you said, you started out in the UP.
Yeah.
You moved to Milwaukee for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I lived in Milwaukee, Chicago.
What was that? What was like big going from the UP to Milwaukee or Chicago?
I went to Chicago, yeah.
What was that like for you?
Well, it was one of them things where, like, looking back on it, I was insane. You know, I mean.
It had to be culture shock. I mean, going from the UP to a big city like that.
Right. I had never been more excited. And I wrote this in my book, it came out, I got this piece called The Hug. And I wrote it that morning before I got on a plane to leave out of Marquette, Michigan. And when I got to Chicago, I knew one person, and that was the person who invited me to come live with them. And I went there and showed up with my guitar. And O'Hare Airport, I had never been anywhere that big ever in my life. And
wow.
Like an idiot, I said, I'm not going home.
And O'Hare's crazy.
I ripped my ticket in half, my train
really?
Trip. So, and I toughed it out.
That's crazy.
But you know, you grow up real fast in that environment. You just become a different person, and I adapted to it. You know, I always had this thing like, if I can deal with all that snow and driving and all that crap, you know, man, I can handle Chicago.
And then they came to Madison. What drew you to Madison here?
You know, and I never really spent time here. And so when I wanted to focus on my health, you know, I wanted to go someplace where I knew that I was comfortable. And I had people here that I wanted to be near. And that's how I wound up here. And it was really kind of as simple as that. I was ready for a change. I wanted to get rid of my environment where I was at the time. Just a change, you know?
How long did it take for you to fall in love with Madison?
Well, about 15 minutes, you know? You know? Yeah, you learn really fast about how good a city is, you know, the way that they treat you. And, you know, I came here to be really quiet. My neighbors have been very responsive. I quit riding a motorcycle up and down, so that kind of killed the beef, you know. So right. I started to fit in, and I love it here. So,
well, you know, Mojo, a 26-year long-standing medical condition that has caused you severe pain led you to a critical point, using pills to deal with pain issues. It's a part of your journey. Tell us about your struggle.
Well, you know, I had a thing that it was natural. It was with my teeth and my shoulders. And at a very early age, I started being prescribed codeine. You know, in fact, I have a song called Codeine where I say, Mr. Doctor, what about me? You know, I'm asking about, you know, what's happening. And especially at that time, there wasn't like an awareness of addiction or anything like, so I never really understood what was happening to me until it was long too late. And then that BS about it's not habit forming and blah, blah, blah. When you don't have the money, they just write you the script to get you out of the office.
Right.
And so that, believe it or not, one foot in the other, 26 years.
When did it dawn?